Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I just want to say what a beautiful time it is of this year. We have had in this area of America one of the most outstanding Indian summers I think I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. So beautiful. And so many people have been enjoying the weather, and now it's getting very cold, and soon we will have snow, and soon it will be certainly winter again. It's just been absolutely gorgeous. I hope you enjoy this part of the country. It's a beautiful country that we live in, and this part of it is extraordinarily beautiful. Well now, let me say to you today that I want to talk to you about the attitudes that Jesus has. Jesus has a lot of attitudes. Sometimes we say to a person, "Oh, you've got an attitude." Well, you could certainly say that about Jesus. He had an attitude to children, to young people, to disciples, to the cross, and to the blind. And I want to explore these five areas very briefly and quickly today so that I can leave you some nuggets of truth that you can latch on to and use in your life so that as a saint of the Lord Jesus, you can grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Savior. There are many things that cross our minds, but there are the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we should be. Now, in times past, we've explored this in considerable length, and I don't propose to go back there now. But I do want to say to you that people are blessed when they have the right attitudes. Let's, for instance, just take the words of the Lord Jesus with regard to children. I was in a stall not long ago. I don't get around too fast these days, so my wife was off and she was shopping in another part of the store. I was just trying to get to the door to get back to the car. It was rather interesting. This lady was talking to her children and telling them to be quiet and to obey, or I'll have to murder you. You don't talk to children like that, I hope, but some people obviously do. It shows that we have an attitude. In this country, we have had some most gruesome murders and killings of little children, and it is the most awful thing that has come upon this community. And when we see it in our country or close by in a more parochial way in our own backyards, we need to be careful how we treat children. Let me say it to you this way. Jesus, in Luke 18, was presented with some children. Let me read to you what happened. In verse 15 of Luke 18, it says this, "They brought unto Jesus also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." He had an attitude towards children. How can we develop an attitude towards children that is gracious and glorious and Christ-honoring and God-glorifying? How can we? Because sometimes the children irritate us so badly. Well, let's consider this for just a moment. Verse 27 of this same chapter says, "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God." My father, and I will not sing this to you, but my father used to love to sing these words. When mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them away. But Jesus saw them ere they fled, and sweetly smiled and kindly said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." We don't treat children correctly. For instance, if a couple have some children and the couple decide that they're going to live a promiscuous life or a foolish life or an immoral life, they say, get rid of the children. And they tell the children, "Your father is not a nice man, your mother is a nasty woman." So we break covenant with the spouse that we said in the marriage service, till death us do part, we break that covenant and the children are damaged. Children get damaged when we don't keep our word to them. Children are damaged when we don't honor them. A child can be honored. A child is naturally humble because it knows nothing. It's learning. And the dreadful thing is that most children learn from those of us who are called adults. And the adults behave themselves in the most unpleasant way and cause people to not love the Lord Jesus Christ. What adults should be is this. We should be a pointer. We should be a placard. We should be a sign that points to Jesus and points all our children to the Lord Jesus. It's important because God says that he will never let us down, and a child needs the confidence that Jesus will never let them down. But often with a divorce, you find that parents don't care. They fight over the custody of the child. They want their own way with the child. The child has to do as it's told because it's just a child and can't possibly understand all the dreadful thoughts that go on in the adult mind. Of course they understand. And of course they catch on. Jesus had an attitude to children. The disciples, and they were quite right, Jesus had been somewhat overworked. He had been preaching, teaching, and helping, and healing, and doing all sorts of things. And now the mothers bring these children to him. And what a fussy nonsense that seems to be sometimes. I'm sure you've sat in an aeroplane, a doctor's office, or just at home, and the children have been so irritating. There is a story where the captain of the aeroplane came back into the cabin and said, "Children, go and play on the wing." It's not a nice thought, but they were so irritated with the children. It's important that you and I understand Jesus had an attitude to children. He said, "Suffer or let, don't stop, cause little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." God welcomes children. A child dies, and we are full of sadness as a result of that. It isn't easy to face the death of a child. We call them innocent, yet they're not really innocent. They are born with sin, and they have need of a Savior. But let's say, for instance, they've not heard of the Savior. What do we understand? Well, the kingdom of God is full of children. I think Satan today is one of the most irritated persons that's ever been created, simply because in this country alone, we abort several thousand children a year. We abort them. Satan has won the battle. He's killing children through legislation, which is very necessary in our famed country. And I do believe that it is a great country, but we have made some mistakes that are awful. There should be no such thing as an abortion in this country. We are a civilized group of people. We have Christian ethics that we ignore. We have Christian thinking that we try to pretend isn't there. And for our own convenience, we go into this thing of abortion. Let me say to you this, that when that child, that little child unborn or just born, whenever that child leaves this world, that little child goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and it must frustrate Satan so badly. He won on the one side. He's won the battle, but he has not won the war. His war is with the Lord Jesus, to dishonor Jesus and to dishonor the glory of God. And he thinks he succeeded. Instead, he has totally failed. For each child goes into the presence of God. You don't believe me? Just see this verse 16. "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is filled with the children of God. And then there was the attitude he had to a rich young ruler. Let's look for a moment or two from verse 18 down to 25 of this 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we see a certain young ruler ask Jesus, saying, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" What a tragedy! What a tragedy! You see, it's important that you and I understand that nothing must come between us and the Lord Jesus. Riches and all the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And Jesus says, have this attitude. Sell everything you've got and give it to the poor, and then you can follow me. But this young man couldn't do that. He wanted to have his cake and eat it. Jesus makes us who love him make a commitment. And the commitment may vary from one to another. But there are some basics that Jesus requires, and that is our willingness to shed the world and all the blessings of the world in order to follow him. This rich young ruler had lots of money. He was very well off. He was doing extraordinarily well. And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. You've kept the commandments because that's the law. You've not committed adultery. You've not committed killing or murdering. You've not stolen. You've not borne a false witness, and you've honored your parents." My, this was a very moral young man. All these things, he says, verse 21, "I have kept from my youth up. Yet lackest thou one thing," said Jesus in verse 22, "Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." You know, that's not easy. That is not easy. Some of us have little secret collections of this, that, and the other. And one of the greatest collections that has come to preachers and missionaries throughout the world, and especially here in America, is that we have to have a good retirement. After all, we've worked, we've given up, we've sacrificed, we've done this, that, and the other. We've gone without so that we might somehow gain treasure. Dear, 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 dear friends, the only treasure that you want is the treasure that cannot be touched by mankind, and that treasure is laid up for you and I in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. The moth cannot corrupt and eat it away. The cankerworm cannot break through and chew it. Rust cannot cause it to gradually break down and fall apart. Come, sell all that thou hast. Give the value of your riches to the poor, to people in need. In need. It's an important thing. This rich young ruler made a great mistake by not doing it. He did not sell his things, and Jesus was grieved because he perceived that he was very rich, and he needed to come, and he needed to bow down before the Lord Jesus and to trust him for all his tomorrows. Now notice verse 25. It's a very interesting little verse. "It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And this is why, if you are well off, you should stop and have a consideration, because this piece of scripture was written by a doctor. Now, let me suggest to you this, that the word that he used for the needle's eye was the eye of a suturing needle, the needle that sewed up flesh. That is a very thin, very beautiful, capable needle. We're not talking of something like a knitting needle. We're not talking of something that's massive, a darning needle. We're talking of a suturing needle. And that's what Luke said here. He actually used the word a suturing needle. Now, that's a tiny, tiny, tiny little hole in which the thread to hold a body together so that the mark, the scar, will not be so awful. My goodness me. Let's look at this for just a moment. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to get through a suturing needle's eye than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And this should cause a lot of consternation amongst us because most of us are well off. Never mind what the politicians tell us. Never mind what the taxes threaten us with. It doesn't matter. What matters is this, that you and I understand that the richer we are, the more difficulty we have of living a Christian life because we rest on our riches. Riches are those things that cause us to long for more. Riches are the cares of this life. And only special people are allowed to be wealthy. And the eye of the needle is a tiny little hole. And it's easier for a camel to get through there, said Jesus, with all his burden, than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Job was very rich. And he laid his riches before God, and he lived very carefully before God. And when his children had a party, he said, "Let me make a sacrifice to God because they may have sinned," not realizing that what they did was sinful. "But I'm rich enough to say to God, here is my sacrifice on behalf of my children. Let me give." He had given to so many people, helped so many people that were down and out. Job had done a fantastic job of sharing what God had allowed him to have. You and I need to do that. And then he had an attitude towards his disciples. Let's look at verses 26 through 30, for it says this, "And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said to them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house, his parents, his brethren, his wife, his children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Interesting. He puts life first and everlasting second. Often we talk of everlasting life because in other parts of the scripture that's the way it's written. But this is life everlasting. If you're enjoying your life, you're enjoying it in the Lord Jesus. And a disciple is one who is following Jesus. Now, says Jesus, it's not difficult for you to follow my commands, because if you go to Luke 10 and verses 18 through 22, you'd find these words of the Lord Jesus when he's speaking. He says, it's not difficult to follow me. It's not difficult to keep my word. Keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Do as I say. Do as I say. Well, what did he say to the rich young ruler? Sell everything, get rid of everything, and get up and follow me. Don't worry about your tomorrows. In another place, the Lord Jesus is speaking about riches, and he has said, have you seen Solomon in all his glory? Was not arrayed like one of these lilies? If God so clothed the lily in the field, will he not consider you, who are of much more value than a lily? We lose perspective. You see, God has looked after the lilies in this world since creation, and he looks after you and will look after you. You do not have to steal. You do not have to be crooked. You do not have to get involved in a Ponzi scheme. All these things that people get involved in today, they rob banks and so on. There's no need. If you would turn your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have enough and abundantly. It's important because we need to have the right attitude. Attitudes are things that live with us day by day. And the things that are impossible with men are made possible by God. God is able to keep you. God is able to hold you. God is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory. God is able to always minister to you and meet your needs exactly where they are. What are your needs? Oh, yes, I do understand that we all have needs. I do understand that we have to plan ahead. I do understand all that. Well, plan in Jesus and say, make a conscious effort, a conscious decision. All that I have belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though I am what I am that by the grace of God. We waste a lot of our lives. We don't understand most of our lives. But notice, will you, in verse 31, Jesus had an attitude to the cross. He took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spat upon, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of those things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. You don't have to be ignorant. The Apostle Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I want you to understand what is round the corner. I want you to understand that if you get up and follow Jesus, you will be delivered to the enemy. This is verse 32. If you will follow the Lord Jesus, you will be mocked. If you will follow the Lord Jesus, people will treat you spitefully. And if you trust the Lord Jesus and follow him, they will spit on you. Jesus is saying, because they scourged me, they will scourge you and they will put you to death and think they do God a favor. And the third day, this is verse 33, Jesus shall rise again. And because he rose from the dead, the firstborn from the dead, so we rise from the dead. You see, we cannot be destroyed. He that believeth in me, said Jesus, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked his disciples. And they said, well, yeah, we think we do. Well, do you believe it? I do. I believe implicitly that I shall not die. That is, my soul and my spirit, because my spirit is born again, my soul shall live with Jesus forever. And I want you to see that. Do you know the cross? Do you know what the cross means to you? Don't let the sayings of Jesus be hidden from you. Understand that we are to take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him. And you can't follow him until you've taken up that cross. The Apostle Paul uses the expression a slightly different way, but it means the same sort of thing. He said, I am crucified to the world. I have deliberately laid my life down in death. I mortify the deeds of my body. I die for Jesus. Is that how you're spending your life? If you are a preacher, you will come up against all sorts of things. People will misunderstand you, and it seems deliberately. Sometimes it's absolutely silly the way people misunderstand us. They will accuse us of things that we had nothing to do with at all, and it will be a cross. We have to be able to suffer, but we lay all of life's glory dead, that we may take up our cross and follow Jesus. Oh yes, the unfortunate thing is that the church today is a spiteful enemy to many Christians. If you will follow Jesus, you will find that people will be spiteful toward you and all that sort of thing. Well, now, I have to close in just a moment or two, but we read in verse 35, it came to pass, they came nigh to Jericho, and a blind man sat on the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude, he asked what it meant. And they say that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come to him, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight, and so on. I can't spend any time here because we're at the end of our time, but I want to share this much with you. If you will put your trust in Jesus, what right now cannot be seen, you can only listen to, you will see with great clarity, because Jesus will reveal himself to you. And when he reveals himself, his cross, he will show you you don't have to live a blind. Oh, how precious is our dear Lord Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, will you give us right attitudes that we may be a people who shall show forth your glory and the beauty of your holiness day by day by day. Oh, Lord, we're just saints, saints of Jesus. We follow him, and we ask that you will cause us to follow carefully. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. God bless you.